Hello and welcome back to the Masonic Roundtable, a weekly program where Masons from around the world get together to talk about Masonic news and opinions in a friendly and social manner. The following disclaimer applies for tonight's broadcast. The thoughts and opinions here are solely those of the participants and do not reflect any Grand Lodge statements or positions. Tonight, as usual, we would love to hear from you, so you can follow along on the side of the YouTube stream to chat with us or on our Facebook Live feed. So we're looking forward to interacting with all of you and looking forward to a great show. You guys know me. I'm Jason Richards, past master of Acacia Lodge number 16 in Clifton, Virginia, and member of the Colonial Lodge number 1821 in Washington, D.C. And we'll pass it off to Mike the intern.
Hey, Mike Hambrecht here, current Lodge Education Officer and Senior Warden of Lakeshore Lodge number 307 in Madison, Ohio, and the Senior Steward at Castle Island Virtual Lodge. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Heading over to the one, the only, Juan Sepulveda. Juan, who is muted.
Who mutes me? Good evening, everybody. Juan Sepulveda here from sunny Kissimmee, Florida, and the brother behind thegentlemansbrotherhood.com. Good evening.
Good evening. And now last but not least for tonight, Brother Robert Johnson.
Oh my gosh. Hey, everybody. Robert Johnson, past master Waukegan, sitting secretary at Space Novum Lodge 1183, and winner of the Grand Lodge of Massachusetts Meritorious Service Award. I have to brag about it. It was just so cool. I've never gotten an award like that. But anyway, Robert Johnson, good to be with you guys.
I didn't realize it was a contest.
Now you just need a red hat to go along with it.
That's it. I'm just inflated ego. Inflated ego me. You know?
Skip red and go right to white.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
You know,
I am nowhere near that meritorious. But, yeah. Good to be with y'all.
Awesome. Yeah, congratulations, Robert. That's an incredible honor and definitely well-deserved. So on behalf of TMR and our listeners, you're awesome, and we're glad you're with us.
Oh, thanks, man. Thank you very much.
And another note of thanks to all of you Patreons who support the show week after week. We, it'd be a lot more difficult for us to do what we do if we didn't have your support. So thanks so much for sticking with us and supporting us week after week. If you're not a patron yet, you can go to patreon.com, search for the Masonic Roundtable. We've got some cool stuff behind the scenes. We've got an exclusive Facebook group for Knights and Squires. It's a good time. So come on over and check us out. All right, let's get into tonight's topic. So unless you've been living under a rock, there's this thing called COVID that's been going on since December 2019, early 2020, and there have been a lot of restrictions that are going down throughout the United States. So I wanted to talk a little bit tonight about the concept of that we discussed back last year in March, the idea of what does the lodge experience look like after COVID, and what does reintegration into a brick and mortar type of lodge setting actually looks like? So let's start by just seeing where our respective jurisdictions are at this point in time. So, the question is, are your grand lodges or your lodges doing anything different? Did you do anything different because of COVID? And now that the restrictions are easing up, what are the differences and what are you able to do now that you couldn't do maybe a couple months ago?
So in Ohio, we still have some restrictions. We're easing them, but some of the restrictions actually allowed us to meet as long as we were in a red or less zone. Purple, no meetings whatsoever. But if it was a red-coded area or less, we could meet at the Worshipful Master's discretion. We could meet in person. Otherwise, we could do Zoom meetings, but we couldn't do ritual. We couldn't do voting. We couldn't vote for officers. We couldn't ballot, all kinds of little things like that. Now, when we do, you know, for our Master Mason degree, they also told us to we could eliminate all the walking parts that didn't have a speaking part. So, you know, we could get rid of, you know, 9 of the guys that needed to walk. To allow for social distancing. And even now we're still allowed to do that. We're also, which I'm not exactly sure how this works, but to allow for still more social distancing, we're also allowed to have 1-day classes in our lodges rather than just as a district-wide or statewide thing. Each individual lodge could do a 1-day class. So
that's really interesting, Mike. Is the idea that if you spread out the 1-day classes, you have, you know, maybe fewer brethren gathering in the same place, or what's the rationale behind that?
Yeah, that was, you know, like when the, you know, my thought was that yes, we might actually have, you know, a few more guys, you know, because we got the candidates there, but we have, and it is actually limited to only those that are needed to be there. I should say that. If you're doing a part in the degree, you're an officer of the lodge, that's it. No visitors. And then with the candidate, it's the candidate and their master craftsman. Because, you know, 1-day class, somebody has to, most of them aren't at the altar. So, you know, somebody has to hold that Bible in front of them for that whole obligations part, you know. And that's usually their master craftsman, who is the guy who would help them with proficiencies, which in Ohio, when we do a 1-day class, they go away too. So, because they get to pass from degree to degree without proficiency.
Interesting. Yeah. Robert, what's Illinois doing these days?
Well, you know, Jason, Mike and Juan, Illinois has really been kind of up to the individual lodges. We're pretty libertarian in the lodge anyway, at the Grand Lodge level. Not that I supported that entirely. Like, I think at a point, in my personal opinion, right, as our disclaimer goes, it was probably irresponsible to allow lodges kind of the discretion to do what they wanted to do as early as a year ago. However, nothing has much changed aside from they had this during COVID. They really had guidelines, and their guidelines were wear gloves, you know, anything that has multiple people have to touch, like an obligation. Maybe we don't actually touch it. They literally, for part of the obligation, they used saran wrap, believe that or not, over the lights. And so with some of that, like that was kind of what was going on during degree time. And not that they really never, maybe for a small minute, they banned everything, like don't meet. But now we've actually progressed to a point where they were using a open policy of what I would call like mixed meetings. So they would open the lodge with by acclamation so that there was no actual ritual. And then your secretary was a virtual quote unquote Tyler and would let people into a meeting and, you know, set it up however you wanted. So you had these hybrid meetings happening. And we actually didn't need even any dispensation to do it. Like for a while, for a month or so, they were like, oh, wow. And I think what happened was a lot of lodges probably weren't doing a lot of the virtual, not as many as they thought. So then they just said, you don't need it. Just let us know if you're having a virtual meeting so we can keep a record of it, you know, for posterity. You know, maybe one day they're going to look back and they're going to look in a Grand Lodge book and they're going to see, you know, this many lodges during a pandemic had, you know, a monthly hybrid meeting. Now, we had a couple hybrid meetings in particular, but then when COVID cases were on the rise again, we actually went all the way back to a direct, just online only. While the rest of Illinois wasn't mandated to do this, right? Nobody was mandated to go back to online only, but we just did as a lodge because that's what we felt was the correct thing to do. Sorry if my kids are murdering each other out there. But just recently we actually got an edict from our Grand Lodge that says, hey, by edict for now, we are terminating, the hybrid meetings and lodges must meet back in person starting on June 1. So, which worked out because my lodge already had plans to begin the process of coming back and we were all thinking about going back on June 1. We'd been sending out surveys to our members saying, are you vaccinated? Do you plan to get vaccinated? Do you not want to get vaccinated? I've received one shot or both shots kind of thing, right? And we were really looking at, you know, where was our membership in terms of vaccination? And for those who didn't want to get vaccinated, you know, would they be safe or safer, right? To promote kind of that herd immunity. So that's where we are now, Jason. We're really just getting started. So this will be our first meeting going back in person in June 1. And even with that, there's some stipulations on how we're going to do it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, no, it's you know, fascinating to see different jurisdictions doing different things. Juan, what if anything did Florida actually do?
Good question. Well, I'm in Florida, so what I thought and felt didn't really matter. We've been having meetings for months and degrees and county fairs and everything. So I don't know what y'all were so concerned about, because obviously there was very little concern down in this tropical haven.
Paradise.
It has been, of course, a very interesting process. Our Grand Lodge has communicated to everybody from the beginning of the pandemic. They have been very involved in looking at the circumstance. But there was advice, of course, to maintain social distancing whenever people went to the lodge. There were supposed to be sanitizing stations at different locations in the lodge. But again, this is Florida. People are handling things very, very differently down here. And it was a little strange that when the pandemic first began to cause some trouble for us in around March of 2020, we went completely dark. So there were no meetings whatsoever, nothing. As a matter of fact, there was even like virtual meetings were discouraged because there wasn't supposed to be any business done. So the brothers that didn't have access to Masonic communications like we do, like we never stopped meeting with our brothers virtually and engaging in Masonic education. That never stopped. The brothers who didn't have that, they really disconnected from Lodge and missed out on fellowship, on the emotional support. So it has been very interesting to me what happened. Now my Lodge is open and it has been for many months. I know as far back as either January or February, the meetings have been happening. Degrees continue to happen, practice. I know that they're taking some precautions with the... I haven't seen them in person, obviously. I've stayed away. I've taken this pandemic way more seriously than a lot of my, you know, close brothers in the area. We had a loss in the family due to COVID, so that really impacted us in our participation in things. But anyway, in summary, Florida is, you know, orbs to the wall. Masonry is open for business.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because being a member of two jurisdictions, you know, Virginia and Washington, D.C., it's very, very kind of polar opposite handling of the pandemic.
Must be crazy.
It's interesting. So Virginia went with the governor's guidance all the way when the pandemic really kicked off in earnest in March of last year and things started shutting down. Virginia Masonry shut down too. Then when as restrictions have eased, the Virginia Grand Lodge has followed the Virginia governor's guidance. So for the past several months, it had been, I think since about January or so, it had been, okay, 10 people. And so my worship, it's 10 people max at a meeting, but it is up to the master's discretion. The master can choose not to hold lodge. And so for the past several months, my worshipful master at Acacia made the decision not to have lodge because he said there's no point with 10 people. That's essentially all the officers and no one else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in his mindset, the lodge is really for the folks outside of the officer group. So, you know, Scott made the hard decision to cancel lodge a couple months here and there. This past April, I think, was the first lodge meeting we've had pretty much all year. And that was, you know, in alignment to the governor raising the max number of people to 50. Then later this month, it's supposed to go to 100. So it looks like folks are out of the weeds, or rather, folks are out of the woods. One thing that came up a number of times was the idea of allowing brethren to meet online and allowing, you know, lodges to meet or conduct, you know, education or things like that online. And Virginia just isn't ready for that and hasn't been ready for that. DC, on the other hand, went the opposite direction and swung to entirely virtual. So virtual meetings, no degree work, but virtual meetings, all throughout last year. They had the option to open it up and it was put to a vote back, last month. And the brethren elected to stay virtual only through June or July. And so there's an abundance of caution in DC, but also a corresponding openness to masonry through virtual means where it makes sense. So it's just interesting to have one foot in each jurisdiction and see how the jurisdictions are handling it differently. So now that we're... Oh, go ahead, RJ.
I was just going to say, I find it interesting, right? Like, I think a few of us have some, you know, cross-jurisdictional memberships. But what I find interesting about yours in particular, Jason, is that you like live where you can hop back and forth between the jurisdictions. So that makes it pretty unique for you.
Yeah, I'm very lucky in that regard, especially in kind of the DC metro area where you've got DC, Virginia, and Maryland. And, you know, with DC, There's not that tight jurisdictional, like, residency requirement that there is in, like, Virginia and other states. So you have, since a lot of the DC folks are commuters, you know, it's, I have the ability to, you know, hop around to a different jurisdiction and kind of reap the benefits of both, which is pretty unique and pretty awesome. So now that, so we as, you know, TMR and especially, you know, all of the hosts have been involved very heavily in online Masonic education for at least the past 7 years. But We've been involved in increasing amounts in online Masonic education over the past year during the pandemic, with things like just online presentations, the Refracted Light Facebook group. My question to everybody is, as we are moving back to more openness with brick and mortar masonry, have you all noticed a shift in online Masonic education?
That's something I kind of wonder about. I mean, I'm not super active like in Refracted Light or some of these other places where we can get some great online Masonic education. I think certainly I saw this incredible boom in the online education when it first started, because it was really filling a void. I think a lot of people, there's probably some sort of, you know, customer target profile that would say people who tend to enjoy Masonic education are also, you know, more technologically savvy, might be on social media more or whatever the case is. But I think I have gotten the inkling that there are a few less online presentations happening. But that also might just be because, like, it's not like we have a million people looking to present. Many of us are creating new content now just to, like, we blew the bank when it first happened, right? Like, we were doing a presentation every week, maybe sometimes two times a week if you're Joe Martinez. And, you know, you're running out of material. So,
or you just,
I wonder,
me, and I just recycle the same presentation 100 times.
Well, yeah, okay. But to your credit,
it changes frequently, each time, though.
That's right. You frequently update it. And so you get a little something new every time. But that's a great question, Jason.
Sometimes Noah doesn't get the boat done in time.
Right. Yeah.
Juan, you're
so, I don't know.
Still not.
I have, you were doing it in different places too. Which my approach was similar to yours. I had 2 to 3 presentations that I gave in Canada, in Texas, and I even gave a presentation in Portugal in Spanish to Portuguese speaking brothers. But it was just 2 to 3 presentations, and like you mentioned, it continued to evolve every time. You add something additional in case you have a hummingbird type brother who goes from place to place to catch him. He can still get some value out of it. But just like RJ was saying, for me, I have seen a little reduction in the invitations that are passing in front of me, not just to speak, but to attend presentations. And I think brothers really covered the bases. I think there was plenty of available masonry online, and I'm so happy. Like, you think about how hard we've worked for 7 years promulgating Masonic education. You know, even if your lodge is not doing something, take advantage of our podcast, our YouTube channels, these virtual presentations, and to see how when the pandemic hit, people stood up and like they stepped up to the plate and actually said, okay, this is our time. We're going to do Masonic education virtually for a long time. And it was amazing to see. I didn't feel the need to switch to high gear and the winding stairs or anything, because there was something happening all the time. So I'm very pleased to see that.
Yeah, that was really cool. The idea that there were so many people who were stepping up to create awesome Masonic educational presentations that are still going strong, not just in like Refracted Light, but the Grand Lodge of Georgia, the country, not the state. with their Sapir Aude lecture series that, you know, has over 200 lectures at this point in time. It's just, you know, absolutely amazing.
And this has given really like kind of a great platform for up and comers. You know, how many times have we been asking, you know, maybe there's a brother in our lodge who is having a difficult time standing in front of a room full of people. And now with the advent of online masonry, maybe he's not doing like a, you know, a Facebook Live or something, but perhaps he's able to stand in front of his lodge, quote unquote, right? And have a scripted thing, you know? Nobody can see that he's got a script. Maybe they can tell he's reading or something, but the point being that he can sit there and move through his slides and have his script and just talk to the camera. And maybe it's a little bit easier. And when he goes back to lodge, maybe he's that much more ready and prepared. You know, he's got that thing. He's got that little checkbox. I did this for my brothers already. I have nothing to be afraid of. Or maybe, you know, we've given platforms to those on Facebook Live or perhaps on, you know, Refracted Light or any of the other great, you know, Facebook, you know, chat arenas where these things are happening. We're launching these new and upcoming people. You know, maybe we had a little chip on our shoulders when we came in, right? Because we knew, like, we know how to talk, or maybe we don't know how to talk, but we don't have any like filters. So we kind of don't care. It doesn't bother us to get up in front of places and do something. And like I said, we kind of blew the bank, right? Like I don't have any presentations left. I mean, I just had to write one. but I think these new people are coming in, delivering some great stuff that's new. And I'm looking forward to see those same people now in actual lodge to stand up and carry on. I think what a lot of our lodge education officers and district education officers have been kind of, you know, hauling the or, you know, having the brunt of the work with Masonic education. Maybe this is a transitional period going back into lodge. We'll say, hey, You had some great talks online. Bring those back into the lodge now that we're coming to back together, you know? I think that would be just amazing.
Yeah, I agree. kind of moving in that direction, as we look toward, you know, a more hybrid type, a truly like hybrid type of Masonic experience where we've had a year plus of just exponential growth of Masonic education online, moving back toward, you know, Masonic education in lodges. What do we think the future is going to hold for, you know, virtual or hybrid masonry over the next year or two, and perhaps what should it hold?
Yeah, I wanted to take this one. pardon me. Now that we are starting to see a shift elsewhere, my suggestion to brothers is that don't get your foot off the pedal. This is a moment where hopefully this, what happened to us last year, will not happen to this generation again. And it was a hidden opportunity for there to be a reset into a lot of things. Mainly when it came to Masonic education, one thing that filled me with joy was to see all these digital meetings, these virtual meetings, replete with older brothers. And now they were exposed to the kind of Masonic education that we have been, a younger generation, has been dealing with virtually for close to a decade now. Now, they've gotten a taste of that. And in all the different lodges that I visited for the past year, not a single one mentioned any desire to go back to the old ways of going to a meeting that was insipid, just full of, pardon me, full of just red tape and protocol and administrative stuff and very little dedicated to Masonic education. I can see now, I can expect that brothers are going to continue being active into Masonic education wherever they can get it. And if the physical lodge is reluctant to provide that experience, not a worry. There's plenty of outlets for brothers to virtually receive that. Now, you can still go to your lodge for the fellowship, for the camaraderie. If you want to be part of this, the degrees, the civic aspect of Masonry, perfect. But if you are in a leadership position and you value Masonic education, make it a priority. Do everything possible to bring into Masonry that zeal for the education. And one argument that I heard often whenever I make this call to brothers in this encouragement, they would say, but the education is in the degrees. If brothers are exposed to the degrees, that should be sufficient. So in a sense, brothers are supposed to then interpret on their own, have no discussions about the education, have no discussions on the practical application of that education. And I don't think it needs to be limited to that. So I strongly encourage you, if you're in a leadership position, make Masonic education a priority within the lodge. And if you're not in a leadership position, demand it to be so. Ask of your leadership more Masonic education to balance out the experience. If we're not putting education in its rightful place, how can we ever claim to be making good men better?
Juan Sepulveda for president. Yeah, that's definitely
that'll work.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking to my confirmation bias there. Robert, Mike, what do you all think? What does the future of Masonry look from a hybrid standpoint, or virtual versus brick and mortar?
Well, what I hope is that, number one, that we get back into regular lodge. I mean, I'm all for that in every way. But what I also want to see is as much as possible virtual Masonic education out there, whether it's, refracted light or another lodge or more of what we do or more podcasts. But I actually want, I want it to actually be more of the, these Zoom meetings even, national, international, local. I don't care if it's, that or not. I mean, because yes, I belong to Castle Island. So yeah, I meet with guys from Canada and Scotland and Italy, and the United States and Australia, but if we could just keep this some of this momentum going with the virtual, I'm going to be one of those more happy, very happy Masonic guys, because I'm going to get education from a whole different perspective. And, and if I'm lucky, I'll get it from a different nationality and get there's a whole different perspective on it. And we might even, let's not go there entirely, but get it from some of the more clandestine organizations as well. And I'll call it clandestine just because that's how Ohio deals with it. But you know what I mean? The, co-masonry and so forth.
Irregular and clandestine.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it. Yeah. Not to say that they're, not doing. Yeah.
I like the way you put that, Mike, like we're not already getting something from those groups. I can't tell you how many times Grand Lodges will send around links back to, something like Phoenix Masonry. Just saying.
Or Universal Co-Masonry. Like, look at the production value on this video.
Like, you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, oh, guess what you're doing? Sharing stuff that you didn't even know.
Yeah, Masonic Philosophical Society. Like.
Yeah, I mean, I read stuff from their blog all the time. I think they have fantastic content. One of my favorite authors on there is Kristen Wilson Slack. She's amazing, along with Elaine. But I digress. So, sorry about my bulldog. Listen, when it comes to Freemasonry going forward and going into the lodge, I can tell you that, number one, it sounds like a lot of lodges are sticking around to doing this thing where they're going from nothing to virtual or to a hybrid. We've been there for a year, or 9 months at least. And what I can tell you is, for us, who are now at the tail end of this, hopefully, right? Don't go back up COVID cases. What I'm really hoping happens is June 1 comes around and we're able to meet in person the way we want to. And we're hoping on doing some kind of, we're going back to the way we were when we had lower case volume and we were meeting in person hybrid. Because we haven't met hybrid in months. Like, we were meeting hybrid for 3 months before COVID cases got so bad we couldn't do hybrid anymore. Because we're up here in the northeastern corner of Illinois, right outside, 45 minutes north of Chicago, COVID cases were skyrocketing. So for us, going back in June means we have a small lodge. We've only got 22 members. We have about 18 that show up every meeting. And we can't all fit in a lodge that's two times the size of this office safely. So we'll meet in the large lodge hall, which for those of you who are like, well, how big is the large lodge hall? It's like your classic 1920s big lodge room. So we'll meet in there. We'll move the west up. Taylor Kleinick's got a great presentation, right-sizing your lodge. Well, in this case, we're right-sizing our lodge for COVID. We're bringing the west up, keeping the east where it is, and we're moving our wardens, junior wardens coming up also toward the east. And we're all kind of more condensed, and we bring just folding chairs more toward the center, but we're keeping still a 6 foot distance. And so that's what we're doing. We're still going to be masked up, even if we are vaccinated. Windows will be open, right? We don't have air conditioning. It's going to be June. It's going to be hot and sticky and gross because it's the Midwest. And that's the way we're going to deal with it. So I think our plan really is to do some kind of innovative stuff with education, because we're such an education heavy lodge. We usually have a great speaker come in on a topic, and then we have interactive discussions and we're doing stuff together. But in this case, to facilitate that a little bit better and to celebrate kind of coming back together, we've got some great plans to do quick business. We don't even call it a stated, right? We just call it the education meeting every month. We handle most of the business offline, and then we just approve everything in the meeting. Takes, 20 minutes tops. And then we go into education. But what we're hoping to do is to watch a movie outside on a giant projector. That has to do with, I think we're going to be doing geometry in June. So a movie based on geometry, and our junior warden's going to tailgate and grill up some food, and we're going to bring lawn chairs, and we're just going to have like an outside celebration of kind of, getting back together for the first time in, 9 months. But I think that's kind of the interim, right? We're moving. We're not allowed to have the hybrid anymore. We have to meet in person as of right now. So we have to make the best of that and to do it as safely as possible. And some people will say, this was kind of interesting. I ran a survey after MasonicCon Chicago. I asked about the safety precautions. Were they just right? Too much? What? I had people saying that taking temperatures and making you mask up was too much. And that's fine. I respect that. But at the same time, I would just felt terrible if somebody went home with COVID after that convention. Right. And so the same thing, right? Do we want to get our brothers sick? We have an aging population of brothers who show up to lodge. Even if they don't believe in COVID, I'm not saying I have those members, believe in COVID or don't want to get vaccinated because it changes your DNA or something, or whatever is going on, right? microchipping, Bill Gates divorce, whatever. So
we're all lizard regardless. Men anyway, so
that's right. Watch. I just want to make sure we're taking care of our brothers and, keeping, I don't want anybody to get sick, from lodge or anywhere, but like in particular.
And that brings up a really good point, Robert. As we ease back into face-to-face brick-and-mortar masonry, we're going to have lots of different brethren with different levels of comfort with face-to-face interaction. So, you know, another question for the group is, how do we manage the spectrum of comfort and whether, you know, not even about politics, but just the, how do we manage the trauma that's happened to all of us over the past year, and how do we manage people who are in different stages of their willingness to and readiness to reintegrate into a face-to-face lodge environment? What can we do to ease that transition?
You know, here in Ohio, the one thing we do is, I mean, it literally comes from Grand Lodge right now that if you don't feel comfortable coming to lodge and to meet in person, don't. If you have a temperature, don't. You know, things like that. But we also, within our lodge, we also state that, you know, if someone chooses not to, though, they are not to be ridiculed. They are not to be thought of any less. And we, and Grand Lodge is saying, we as Grand Lodge won't think any less of someone who wants to stay home, you know. So, yeah, it's, you know, do it. But I'll be honest with you, my lodge, you know, there hasn't been an issue. I, you know, at first I thought there would be, you know, for me, because I was like, I wasn't going for anything. And, you know, nobody thought any, in the end, nobody thought any less of me when I didn't go to our one day class back in September that they had. I was like, I mean, I'm the senior warden and I'm not coming, you know. Sorry, you know, I feel bad for the candidates, but I didn't, you know, didn't feel comfortable being in that close proximity, you know, with a lot of people. Mask or not, you know, and now, you know, I go to lodge, I wear my mask when I get there. Long as I'm not right up close to anybody, I don't have my mask on, you know. And most people don't, you know, if we're once we get up from our chairs and start milling around again, yeah, we put our masks back on. And most of us are wearing them. There's a few that aren't, you know. But generally, yeah, it's just, I mean, it's just generally very amicable on all of that.
Yeah, that's a great point, Mike. Being amicable, I think it's such an important thing for us right now. If you think about how toxic so many people have been when it comes to the interaction or the criticism of, you know, each other's behavior. I want us to create consciousness about having empathy. Statistically, you will have brothers in lodge who lost a loved one to COVID. And people didn't lose people, you know, people don't contagion others with a virus on purpose. Like, they're not trying to hurt people. And the dynamics can be better. You know, here we're coming off of an incredibly toxic 4 years of political bickering, and you have brothers who are carrying that into the lodge. I'm embarrassed to see it. I'm disappointed to see the behavior at times from people that are chastising others for their decisions. If you don't feel comfortable going to lodge, don't go to lodge. If you don't feel comfortable not having the mask in lodge, even if other people are not wearing it, listen, do you. And don't allow anybody to bully you into behaving otherwise. I really hope that, you know, brothers take on that. There's a lot of misinformation. I really expected, and I swear to you, when the pandemic began, I really expected more of my brothers. I was expecting people who respected science, who respected common sense, and instead, a lot of brothers were swayed by political agendas and in both sides, and just brought a lot of toxicity and a lot of disharmony. And now that is almost behind us, I really hope that we can move forward and really shine by the example of our actions. You know, be men of, you know, be honorable, like respect people. Don't be, I don't know. I'm just so disgusted by some of the behavior. All I can say is, brother, treat your brother with dignity and respect. If your brother wants to wear a mask to take a damn shower, let him. If he wants to get the vaccine, that's fine. Don't be making them feel inadequate for taking precautions that can save a life. That's all I'm gonna say about
it. I feel like right now, if we were the old TMR, right now would be a great time for Sheeple to come on and tell us how we're being ridiculous, you know, that we shouldn't be getting vaccinated, or that, you know, what you name the weird conspiracy theory, right? Like tinfoil hat stuff for sure. All I can think of when I see a lot of this stuff really is just Alex Jones, right? With the hat, given the cool gif, right? I use it all the time, but yeah, it is kind of a shame, right? To see that sort of shaming going on. One, I've seen it myself. Yeah, it's just kind of a bummer.
Mm-hmm. I had one thought more that it came up on all of this too, though. You know, they tell us not to, you know, shame any of our brothers or think any less of anyone. But I want to make this, you know, something for, you know, brothers to think about too. If you're in the officer line and you've chosen to stay home, like I did for mine, expect the possibility that even though they're not holding it against you, you might not move up. You might be, you know, I mean, be prepared for that possibility. You know, and I'm not saying, you know, go to lodge because you might lose your spot. But if you're not going to go, in your head, be prepared that that could happen. I'm not, again, I'm just saying. So.
Yeah, in Virginia, a lot of officer lines froze and just carried over from last year to this year. And yeah, I keep thinking back to Scott Springer, my worshipful master. It's like, oh, poor guy. He's fit to be tied. This is his second go around in the East. Or last year was his second go around in the East. So he's on the victory lap number two. but yeah, that's, you know, we say for the members, like, you know, if you don't feel comfortable, don't show up. If you're an officer, you still need to do what's right for you, but recognize that, you know, that may be a factor where you may, you know, not continue on, or, you know, you may have to stay put a little while. And that's, I don't think in most lodges, that shouldn't be a retaliatory type of thing, right? It should be a, hey, there's some time you need in a position, and there are some, and I hate time and grade, you know, pet peeve out the wazoo, but, you know, with masonry, there's so much to learn at every stage of the officer's line that you just can't absorb all of the ritual and all of the duties and all of the responsibilities and all of the camaraderie and building the cadre of the officers below you in 2 days. So just understand that if you spend a lot of time, you know, legitimately and deservedly away from lodge because of the pandemic, you know, you may end up staying put for a little while. That's honestly, excuse me, at the discretion of your brethren.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, I didn't mean to imply that I thought it would be retaliatory. It's just that, you know, if all the rest of your officer line is showing up and you're not, they may turn around and vote someone else up a little bit, you know. And it's not about, you know, saying you didn't come, so we're not voting you. It's just, in some cases, it may be a matter of commitment in their mind, you know. So understand that, you know, and right or wrong, you know, based on your needs, but be prepared to understand that.
And one thing I want to add to that, don't wait for it to happen. I sent a letter to my lodge, and they had an expectation of me participating in lodge meetings and going to do fundraisers and all that kind of stuff while there was a global pandemic happening. And I said, okay, brothers, it's clear I'm not going to participate. I was a senior deacon of my lodge, and I didn't feel comfortable. We lost a close relative to COVID. I wasn't going to put my family in further danger, but even if I wasn't putting them in physical harm, I was putting them in mental anguish. Anytime they would see me going out to do anything, they would be worried that I was going to catch catch COVID and then bring it home. So there's no shame. Like, this is, you volunteered to take a position in the lodge under a different circumstance. There was no pandemic. There was nothing happening. You were willing to do your job and do the very best. The months that I was a senior deacon, I was proud of the work that I did. But the pandemic showed up, and I saw that I couldn't perform the way that others would have been expecting me to. So I wrote a letter, sent it to the lodge, and said, unfortunately, I'm not going to be participating. Therefore, I recommend that you find someone else to take my place. Now, don't wait for it to happen to you. If you know you're not going to go to lodge, don't be dragging your lodge along with you. If they're meeting, just make a decision. Either you go or you don't. And for the brothers on the opposite end, don't be doing things in secret. You have your brother's number. Call them up and say, brother, we have other brothers that are willing to take your position. Would you consider allowing them to do so? And like men, like I there should be zero tolerance for all this machination and secret. We're brothers, you know, and we're grown up men. If your expectations are not being met by one of the people in your leadership position, speak to them. Don't blindside them by making a decision and perhaps giving some room, like we were talking about, them feeling that it's retaliatory. No, the lodge has to continue moving forward. There's some people willing to go to lodge, then make some room for them and don't feel bad about it. Move on with your life.
I have to foot stomp the empathy comment from a couple minutes ago, Juan. Now, you know, it's, do I want to go down this rabbit hole or do I not? That's, you know, it's a live show. You know, what do you all think about the inverse? You have, you know, we're preaching empathy for brethren who choose to keep themselves and their family safe. What about the brethren who choose that vaccination is not the right thing for them?
Don't embarrass them.
It's not. I mean, yeah, honestly, you can't do that. You know, you can't have it both ways. You can't, you know, not be embarrassed because you're not coming to lodge and, you know, you're afraid of getting, you know, COVID. But you also can't insult the guy, you know, and say, look, you're wrong. You know, I mean, you can say all these things all you want, but you shouldn't do it. The reality is, do not make that brother feel any worse than you didn't want him to make you feel. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Treat them as you would want them to treat you, regardless of which side of this coin you're on.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. When we preach empathy, we can't have it. You know, we have to have it both ways, go both ways.
Yeah,
that's the brotherly thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, you're going to see our colors. I got vaccinated. I wasn't willing to go to lodge. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm speaking from this other side. But I strongly encourage, brother, if you feel that your brother is in peril, like if, let's say COVID had nothing to do with it. Let's say your brother had a pistol, right? He carried a pistol, but he carried it like they call bandolero style or Mexican style, right? Tucked into the pants. That's very irresponsible.
Pointing to the chicharrones.
Exactly. Now, if I saw a brother doing that, I wouldn't stand up in the lodge and say, hey, I've noticed brother such and such over here carrying his pistol irresponsibly. I would reach out to him because I don't want him to harm himself or harm anybody around him. I would reach out to him and express to him, hey, brother, listen.
Don't reach out to the pistol, though. That could get awkward.
No, don't do that. Especially not here in Florida. You go over to the brother and kindly speak to him. Say, brother, I noticed that you don't have a holster for your pistol. Brother, I've noticed that you haven't been wearing a mask. Brother, I noticed that you have been wearing a mask while inside the car by yourself. Right? Do so in the most tender and gentle manner. If you really care for his well-being and the well-being of the people around you, show the love in the process. You don't have to be a jerk in order to convey a message. And it's ineffective. Like, it's just so ineffective. You chose not to get a vaccine. You must have your reasons. Because I know you not to be a complete idiot. You have some reasoning behind it. Let's hear it. Let me hear it. Perhaps you have some information to contribute. Perhaps there's something that you can contribute to my understanding. And you help me or prevent me from harming myself. But do so like if it meant something to have brotherly love. I know we're getting close to the finish line.
I'm keeping an eye on the time.
Yeah, but so I just wanted to say thank you to all who participate in this. This is one of those conversations that can be difficult to have, but we shouldn't shy away from having the difficult conversations. After all, we are men and Masons, and we should act accordingly. I love you all. Even if we have difference of opinion, I want the best for you just as much as I want the best for me and my family. Hopefully, we can have conversations that are going to make one another a better individual. And if that's your thing, behaving like a man and a gentleman, look what I have here. It is hot off the press. The limited edition pin for the Gentleman's Brotherhood. You have to see, this is the camera doesn't do it justice because of course it's out of focus, but
yeah, those who support me, it doesn't autofocus.
Yeah. So if you want to see a crisp and beautiful picture of it and what you need to do in order to get it, head over to thegentlemansbrotherhood.com for details. Thank you, brothers.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Juan. And so at this point, we'll go into our final question of the night. but foot stomping, try to treat your brothers with love and respect. Everybody on all sides of the political spectrum have been traumatized over the past year between political events in the U.S. and the pandemic. So give everybody a little extra grace if you can. So final question, and we'll start with Juan since you've already done your shameless plugs. if your lodge went back fully brick and mortar tomorrow, would you go?
No.
All right.
Good night.
Oh, go ahead.
Good night.
Good night. Yeah. Brother Mike, what about you?
Mine has, and I have actually been back for, 4 meetings now, I believe. And as a matter of fact, I got to sit in the East last night for the first time. I'm still just senior warden, but, we did a move everybody up the line night to get them oriented with those new positions for next year. So, yeah.
Brother Robert.
Yeah, I'd go back. I have been vaccinated. I would still be wearing a mask, right? And I'd probably stay a little bit social distant, probably not shake so many hands. I think it's okay to be moving in that direction. And, people say this was the new normal. Yeah, it was the new normal for however long this thing sticks around. And I think we're getting back to a point now where, human ingenuity has persevered. We just need to make sure that people keep on making those appointments, you know, so that those who don't want to get vaccinated can enjoy some herd immunity. But it only works if a number of us do get vaccinated, I think. So, yeah, I'd go back for sure. I'm really looking forward to June when we can get back in person. I'm really excited about that. So final plug for me, wcypodcast.com to check out the Whence Came You podcast, which is live every Sunday night at 9:30. We will be finishing up this week Max Hindle's Ancient and Modern Initiation, chapter 7 in part 2. And we're going to talk about the stigmata a little bit. So kind of an interesting concept in terms of Christian mysticism and the mystic path. It'll be pretty interesting. Plus, we've got some other stuff going on also. So that's it. Thanks for watching, everybody. Really appreciate everybody out there who tunes into this program week after week and sharing it with your friends and brothers. And of course, to everybody out there, our patrons and everybody out, you know, like live chatting with us, making this conversation even cooler. And I just want to say hey to Nathan Tweedy out there, who, if y'all don't know, Cooperstown MasonicCon is happening October 8th through the 10th. It's going to be sweet.
Well, that's exciting. I did not know that. Well, thank you, Robert. Final question for me. The answer is no. Not ready, not comfortable at this point in time to spend a lot of time indoors. My family's been following, you know, the CDC guidelines. Congregating outdoors with other folks who have been vaccinated is good enough for now. And, so that's me in a nutshell. We are just a month away from EsoterraCon 2021. It's going to be absolutely awesome. It is entirely virtual. We got news today that the governor of Virginia is looking to lift restrictions 3 days after the conference is supposed to take place. So we'll be back, pandemic willing next year with a full suite of in-person stuff, but entirely virtual, happening June 12th. It's a Saturday. There's going to be a lot of really, really cool stuff, really cool speakers happening. The early bird tickets are sold out. So the swag bags are all gone because we pack those and ship those so folks have them in time for the conference. But you can still get a $15 virtual only ticket, which will give you access to the presentations and the speakers and a day of just good esoteric knowledge. Just check it out. You can go to Mid-Atlantic EsoterraCon on the Facebook page and check us out because we're still selling tickets. So would love to see you there in the group as we nerd out on all things esoteric. So everybody, thank you so much for spending your Thursday evening with us, or your Friday morning if you're listening to us on the podcast on your commute to work. We're appreciative that you're listening to us as well. So we look forward to talking to you next week, and have a fantastic weekend. And remember to, above everything, you know, be kind, practice empathy. It's a trait you have to learn and a trait you have to practice. And above all, keep searching for more light. We'll see you later.
Wow.